Thank you. afternoon. Thank you all for being here. It's awesome to see the turnout. It's an evident token of love and support you're here to render to the Raley family. And on behalf of the family, I thank you for being here. And for those who are joining us live stream, thank you for tuning in and rendering your support and prayer for them. For our guests that are still coming in, we do have ushers that should be able to help you with seating up in the balcony as well. My name is Nathan. I'm the associate pastor here at Woodland Christian Church and inviting you to a celebration of life for Brandon Raley. Quite the amazing young man. I was talking to his brother Alex yesterday and I asked him, what's the deal with Brandon being in pajamas? And he said, he likes to be comfortable. And I thought, well, how fitting, because as I knew him and heard stories of him, he wanted to make people comfortable. And so your being here today is to celebrate him. I encourage you, as he would encourage you, be comfortable. It's okay to cry, and it is most certainly okay to laugh. We have something we'd like to promote for you guys to be an encouragement to the family. You're going to find these in the back after the services today. Little thumbs up and little notes you can write as a way of encouraging the families. We'll have a basket you can drop those off in. It'll be a neat momentum and a way to encourage the families, sharing your love and expressing prayer for them. I wanted to encourage you guys with that to remember to do that when you get back there. I want to start off by reading a passage of Scripture. But before that, we'll talk about the open mic. We're going to have it facilitated. Now, we talked about maybe passing the mic around, but we thought it wouldn't be fair to folks that are Zooming in or live streaming. So the mic's going to be up here. So begin to think about some things you'd like to share, any funny stories or memories of Brandon you would like to be able to share in way of honoring his memory. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Praise God for those promises, and it's really the context of that hope that we're going to begin opening up the celebration service. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word and for family. I thank you for this time being able to celebrate Brandon, and I pray that the name of Jesus would be elevated and that you'd help us to enjoy this time of celebration over somebody so cherished and loved and memorable. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just need to know that you are with me, even if you keep me in suspense. We talk so much these days because I have so much to say. You say Listen to me closely, even though you already know. You already know everything I'm scared of, everything I hold. You hold my tomorrow, and all tomorrow holds. You already know.
Whatever I feel, whatever is coming, whatever the ending, you're already there.
You go before me, and you go behind me.
Wherever I'm going, you're already there, because you
and good friends with the Raleys, and I was blessed to be asked to read his eulogy. So at not quite 12 years of age, Brandon Raley had no worldly achievements to speak of. He didn't invent anything, didn't make a viral video, didn't win any kind of scholarship or trophy. Then again, when Jesus died on the cross, he was still just a carpenter's son to most. Jesus changed lives, and still does, by touching them in unique and unpredictable ways. He healed them by listening to them, accepting them, and loving them. Brandon impacted people by empathy, open acceptance, and a joyful heart. Brandon accepted Jesus into his heart when he was 5. And his goal in life was to be with people and enjoy their company. And he made sure they enjoyed his. He joined every campout, house visit, and sleepover with a ready mix of games in his bag and ideas in his eager mind. He was fun to be with plenty of ideas and no need to be first place for anything. Moreover, he could read the room, as well as kids he'd never met, identify what they needed, and come alongside them as a friend. Brandon was not outgoing in the typical sense. He wasn't into sports or clubs, but he made very much into closeness with his family and bringing people together. In fact, he'd rather stay home barefoot and play Minecraft or watch Beauty and the Beast with his sister than go to Costco. He looked forward to Auntie Night with Auntie Ange, his brother, his sister, and hopefully their cousins. Backwards dinner, crazy art projects, and certainly a movie or two after kicking Mom and Dad out for a date night. Always a cuddler, he jumped into his jammies and grabbed his armful of blankets whenever he got home from anywhere, and insisted on hugging everyone goodnight before family going to bed, while wishing to everyone have good night dreams in his sing-along voice. Even after going to bed, he was more likely to be laying on the floor talking to his big brother in the dark for 2 hours or 3 than actually sleeping in his bed. His parents taught him to look out for his little sister. But in his way, his own way, he looked out for his whole family and then some. He touched base with his friends often, had giggly wiggly video chats with his cousins, teased with the grown-ups and kids alike at small group, and had just the right idea for the family fabulous Friday fun day. His birthday parties didn't involve any big event or expensive decorations, just every kid he could get a hold of. He would make the event big. He also came alongside anyone he could that was hurting, befriend anyone that was lonely and was excited at their victories. His playful tone and rascally smile were infectious and made friends with strangers within moments. Brandon was great at video and board games alike and won more often than not, but only because that's how he often connected with others. In fact, his dad joked he'd take him to Vegas when he was old enough to help pay for college. When the family moved from Linwood, Washington in the spring of 2016, he and his brother missed their families terribly. Brandon found playing next door to be much trickier. Houses were no longer just hundreds of feet away, but now 5 acres away on skinny roads that were not bike friendly. Connecting with friends online became more practical, though he'd break out Catan and Stratego whenever he could and quickly upsell his parents on the sleepover at the earliest moment, even if he only met his new friend an hour ago. He thrived in chess club and went on to beat both his parents plus all the AI settings in his tablet's chess app. He knew all kinds of games. In fact, Brandon, beach camp with our church family last year was a game-a-palooza. He enjoyed art projects along with his little sister, since she could be often found drawing and painting at the table. On holidays, Brandon created cards for his parents, siblings, and often his grandparents, aunts, and uncles in Richland. No matter what the occasion, Brandon's artwork included his brother, sister, his parents, and Bailey, the family dog. The cards he made have happy, energetic messages to the blessed recipient. Drawing of his family in a cabin, on a beach, or in the mountains can be found all around the Raley home. Despite all the playing, Brandon was great at school. He'd been in homeschool since the first grade. He was a sharp speller and a great reader, even reading Call of the Wild with some help from Mom last year because of his love of animals. He found math challenging, but did his best, but was generally a quick learner. He was active and involved in Sunday school and co-op classes alike, and often briefed his parents on the classes later, knowing they'd ask more than, "How'd it go?" Even on the recent retreat in Ridgefield, Brandon stood out as involved in discussion and fully invested in singing praises and worshiping God, even though he was surrounded mostly by strangers. Brandon was born at Kirkland Evergreen Hospital on August 11, 2008, but it always seemed to him he hadn't grown much since. For years, he looked the same as he did in those little kid pictures. Encouraging words by his family didn't help much when he was always the shortest kid in the group. Being short kept him from being accepted by bigger kids and kept him from going on most of the rides at Disneyland, including the Star Wars ride he was really looking forward to. But he rolled with it better than most grown-ups would. But if you wanted to play any kind of hide-and-seek game, his size and strategic cleverness made him the hardest to find and a tough opponent in dodgeball at beach camp as he baited the teenagers to take their best shot at his fast-footed frame. David and Goliath was his favorite Bible story, not because David was around his age, but because David was small and underestimated by everyone around him. Perhaps like David, Brandon did not like being underestimated and pushed himself to show others how it's done. Yet he did so in a gentle and fun-loving way and didn't seem as competitive as he really was, even though when doing things he'd never done before. The battlefields of Minecraft and Star Wars Battlefront were littered with people who misunderstood him. When he was in preschool, he was a Thomas the Train fan, another underestimated guy with a small body and a big heart. In his later years of elementary school, he enjoyed Ninjago and Star Wars and often smuggled Lego figures into church as a way to share and bond with other kids. For Brandon, being with others always trumped games and toys. He didn't own much, yet he was always hard to Christmas shop for. Everything he owned, he used to spend time with others, especially his piles of Legos and stuffed animals. Like his little sister, Brandon was always willing to try something new and found it a great way to meet more people and have more fun. He loved trying new barbecue sauces with his dad, meeting new families, trying new parks, and of course, learning new games. Like his mom, Brandon has a warm, loving spark that people like to be around. Now alongside Jesus, personally, he still has that spark. In fact, he'd quote one of his favorite movies and tell us everything is awesome. To say he would be missed is an understatement. He is an irreplaceable son, brother, grandson, nephew, cousin, and friend, with a gentle, kind heart that far outsizes his human form. And just as Jesus demonstrated time and time again in his earthly ministry, Brandon lived his life coming alongside others with compassion, empathy, and energetic eagerness. And we will for sure be missing Brandon. Just a little quick note. We're building a house, and they came quite often to our place and just helping and being around us, and it was just really enjoyable to have them in our lives. There was one occasion that we had to, or that I had to go get a bunch of materials quite a distance away, and so they got to go with me, and I was thrilled. So,
hi everybody. Jim Riley, Alex's dad, or Brandon's dad, and Sophia's dad. My wife Chris here and stuff. Or thank you for coming today and for listening in online and for your prayers and your blessings and your stepping up as a body helped us deal with his birthday last week and helped us deal with a lot of those days since then. I'm just immensely grateful to have a family like you guys, as well as our flesh and blood. And we're all together in Christ, and we're all just grateful to go through this together with you guys. You're mourning too. I mean, yeah, we are definitely, but you guys as well. something that came to my mind this morning. In Ecclesiastes, there's that passage in chapter 3 or so, time to bear, time to die, time to plant it, time to root up what is planted. Those verses you're familiar with. But I wanted to go further down a little bit, if I could take a minute. Down on verse 8, it says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain for his toil? I have seen the business God gives to humans to preoccupy them. He has made everything suitable in his time. He has also put the past in their hearts, yet no one can grasp what God does from the beginning to the end. So I realize there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and enjoy themselves during their lives, and for anyone to eat and drink, that is, to enjoy the fruit of all his toil. This also is a gift of God. God's been teaching me about his abundance the past 2 years as we live in a 40-year-old mobile on a rented piece of land. And God can reach you there. You can feel closer to him when we get away from the hustle and bustle of things. And God has been so gracious to our family. With your families, God has been so abundant with his grace and his love and his body. Just immensely grateful for all the memories that we have with him. We still have those memories. And yeah, the new memories going forward will look different, but they are still ours as a family. And we're glad to be participating in them with you guys. So thank you for coming today. Thank you for, we want this to be an upbeat time. B would have loved all of this stuff. He would have loved the Fox themes everywhere. He would have really enjoyed that. Foxes don't get much attention in his mind. So they might be rascals to the average farmer, but that might be the point to him. I'm not so anywho, I know they're not the friends of farmers, but they are his friends. So grateful for your coming today, and please do feel welcome. He loved a party. You guys knew. I mean, we're like always the last to leave, like any party, I think. So enjoy this with us. Because he certainly would have, and he wants to see us enjoy that too. When, like the passage says, and for anyone and to eat and drink, that is to enjoy the fruit of all his toil, including that toil and that toil, not toil at all as parents, right? We joyfully do that work. To enjoy the fruit of all his toil, this also is a gift of God. If it feels like a burden, then I encourage you to remember the blessings of it and just enjoy that abundance, because it is just an immense blessing. God is so good to us. We could be here all day on that subject alone and still scratch it only just. I'm very grateful for the abundance of family and friends. Thank you. Hello.
Flashback, step into the scene. All right, guys, it is like way past your bedtime. I want to see you in your jammies on the count of 1, 2, 3.
Get your jammies on.
brand new path, and I'ma fix my eyes so I won't look back. Tim is beating hard in my chest, cause everything in me wants to jump ahead. But light it up, don't let it fade. Light it up, up, show me the way. Light it up, Lord, just like you do. No second guessing, I'ma move with you.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. My knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine is forever.
Very nice singing. I think she really liked that.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Scott. I'm one of the other pastors here at Woodland Christian Church. Been here for about 10 years, and I have to say that was the first time we've ever had a Christian rap song about pajamas played in this sanctuary. So, and should it ever happen again, it will remind us of Brandon. I've had the privilege, which is really what it's been, of being the Raley's pastor for 5 years. Is that about right? And that's really what it's been. It's been a great privilege. They are one of those families that from the time they came until today have always been a blessing, not just to me and the rest of the leadership, but any families that have had the opportunity to spend time with them. And so I'm very thankful for them. We're going to have a little bit of time of sharing about Brandon and open mic. And so I'll go ahead and go first. A couple years ago, my son had a birthday party and he wanted to play paintball. And so we invited Brandon and Alex to come out. And I just want to give you a little window into something that perhaps hasn't been mentioned too much about Brandon or maybe at all up to this point. And that is the very vicious paintball side of Brandon. You know, you look at him, very sweet. You see the photos, the smiles, the friendliness, the kindness. I was looking at this slideshow and I thought, you know, that's true, but it's a little misleading because when you put Brandon down on that paintball field, there's something inside him that just comes alive. And so he could have potentially been a professional paintball player if that even is something. And that was just a joyful time for us to see him out there. I remember he came off the field and he had to run around and tell everyone that he was just boasting, and he was so excited to repeatedly tell everyone, "I shot Pastor Scott. I shot Pastor Scott." He just didn't really stop saying it, you know, on and on and on. I still remember him saying that. So, yeah. So when we have times of sharing like this, I'll sometimes have people express regret the following day or week when I run into them, and they'll say, you know, I really wish I would have went up and shared this. So don't have that regret. If the Lord gives you something to pass along that would be an encouragement to the Raleys or to the rest of us, then please come on up and just share this. And we'd love to hear from you. If someone else is speaking, you're welcome to sit here in the pew and wait for them to conclude. But we'd love, this is the time to celebrate Brandon's life, and you've all been a part of his life. And so we'd love to hear about the experiences you've had with him and the memories that you'd want to pass along to his family. Oh, my son Johnny, okay.
When we were playing paintball, I was on a team with Brandon, and we all had a different type of paintball gun. And he was lucky because he got the one where you would pull the trigger and just shoot a bunch. So there was somebody else that was with us, and we were in the back, and we still didn't have the guts to go in the front line. And we weren't shooting, but Brandon was just going and firing. I was like, Brandon, you're going to waste your paintballs. I just kept on firing.
Yeah. Yeah. What that was my son defending my honor and letting you know that the reason Brandon shot me so much was he had a far superior weapon and apparently an unlimited supply almost of paintballs. So thank you, Johnny. Next. Curtis.
So, I met Brandon about 5 years ago, and he would always talk about Minecraft. So, I guess about a year later, his family came, and they brought their tablets, and we played Minecraft for almost 5 days straight. So, fast forward 3 years, and he's moved on to Battlefront now, and I get the game, and I'm still learning the controls, so I don't know if I'm looking up or down. Meanwhile, he's sweeping the battlefield of everyone. So,
there was this one time about the same thing about my brother. It was his birthday, and we went out to our deck, to watch the stars, and there was a couple shooting ones, and we made wishes on them, and it was really fun.
For the people that don't know me, my name is Carter. Brendan was a very close friend to me. We were like brothers. On my birthday, which was on Sunday in February, I asked my mom if I can spend the day with Brendan at his house after church. My mom asked me, "Are you sure? Don't you want to have a family birthday?" I told my mom, "It's what I really want for my birthday, please." She saw how excited I was to spend the whole day with Brendan, and it was the best birthday I will always remember. Next month, when the stay-at-home order for coronavirus started, Brendan and I wasn't able to spend time with each other in person. We both enjoyed Minecraft, and we were able to play online almost every day and talk to each other with our mics. And we could hear each other over our headphones while we played Minecraft. Brendan was an awesome brother to Alex and Sophia. Many times when we were playing Minecraft, he would say, "I need to go," because he wanted to play and spend time with Sophia. And I could hear the love in his voice that he had for his sister. and I was so proud of him for choosing to spend time with her so they can make those memories. Brendan, you are gone but not forgotten. You will always feel like an older brother to me, and I will never forget you. I will never forget your birthday. I still love you and miss you so very much. Proverbs 18:24, and there is a friend that sits closer than a brother until we meet again.
That was very nice, Carter. Thank you.
When I first met Brandon in my life, I didn't know what he would ever do. So I got to know him more. I spent time with him. We loved playing with each other, and we all loved being with one big happy family. And I'm sad that he's gone, but he will always be with us. Thank you.
You know, as we think about Brandon, there's two things I think about, because we had the opportunity to see him on Sundays and on Tuesday nights. And the two things was, he was a great listener. He knew how to listen. I feel like, you know, we want to be like Brandon, be better listeners. And so I'm looking forward to being a good listener coming up this next months and years ahead as we come alongside the Raley family, Jim and Chris, and in our mind, we'll try to be like Brandon, be that listener that he was. He in Sunday school, he was always attentive, and he would just soak in the Word, and he would. It was just amazing to see how he was led by the Lord to be called like that. The other word that I think about when I think about Brandon, I think about love. You know, he loved all his friends first, right? Loved his friends. He loved his church family. At least from what I saw, and every time we saw him, he had that just love for everybody around him. But especially he had a love for his sister and his brother. That was amazing. You know, that doesn't happen very often in families. A lot of times that doesn't happen. So we all want to be more like Brandon that way, be loving. And his biggest love that was amazing to me was his love for his mom. He just loved his mom. His dad too, but his mom was special to him, and I wish I could have been more like Brandon and love my mom like he did. I know a lot of you young men, you know, sometimes you get in conflict with your mom, but think about Brandon and think about how he loved his mom and be like him. I feel like that's a great example that he showed us over these years.
Randy, I want to really thank you for your eulogy today. You obviously had Brandon pegged to a T. Even better than I. One would think that the paternal grandfather, by the way, I'm Fred Raley, Jim is my son, and actually many of you here, I have to really appreciate the fact and admire the fact that you probably spent more time with Brandon than I did. I don't want to go into that story. It's too lengthy. But anyway, the story I want to tell about Brandon is one that really cherishes me, besides the fact that people loved Brandon and he loved people. He would do almost anything for you. You noticed in the slideshow and in part of Randy's presentation, he was a member of a chess club. I was his primary target. It seemed like every time I went over the house, out comes the chessboard. I'm not all that great. I can be beaten by an average player. But Brandon, I loved playing with him because he would go to that extra effort to just play the game with me. He put up with my faults. I put up with his. And as the typical grandfather, I have to admit that he was every bit the challenge as his dad is, which is not easy. Brandon came real close to beating me several times. The one I remember probably most of all is that he would sometimes make what I would call a careless move. But as a grandfather, I felt sorry for him. I did the same thing for Jim, too, when he was growing up. I give him a chance. And I says, better look at that move again. I said, this is what's going to happen, or what could happen, if you make this move. But I was kind a little bit. I says, you have an option. You can either leave it there or take it back and try another move. The last game that we played together, he had me on the ropes. And boy, if you can say an 11-year-old boy puts you on the ropes, you're on the ropes. Well, anyway, I want to thank all of you for coming today. It meant a lot to my wife and myself. 22 years ago, Jim's mother passed away. And it's not any easier. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Ricky. I just wanted to share two stories. One time at my cousin's birthday, he had an escape room and set up, and it was kind of crazy because there were like 30 kids doing the escape room thing at the same time. And then all I saw was Brandon sitting on the chair in the back. And I went up to him and I was like, Brandon, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing it? He's like, oh, I thought I would just sit out for a little bit because it's so noisy. And I think I was being one of the noisy ones. So, and then that was a good example. And one time, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, we were in the fellowship hall. And then I think we were playing like Settlers of Catan or Jenga or something. And then Sophia came and started messing up the pieces. And I wasn't very happy about it. And then Brandon just left her and then started putting back all the pieces. And that was just a good example, too, to just take good, to love your siblings just while you have them.
Hi, my name is Audrey. And I'm friends of the Raley family. We had home fellowship together, but also we were involved in a co-op together. And this past year, I was the writing teacher, and he was in my class, Brandon was. And I had a really great group of kids, and he was among them. And he always participated, always had a smile, always ready to learn. When we would need to critique the papers, he was always open to the suggestions to try and make it better for next time, the next revision. And I really enjoyed having him in the class, and also my youngest daughter, Anna, was also in the class, and they enjoyed being friends and playing afterwards. Thank you.
Wow. He would have loved this. I'm Sarah. I'm an honorary auntie. I learned two really important lessons from Brandon. I'm sorry. The first lesson I learned is that you have to be all in. Whether it's playing chess with Grandpa, or playing Minecraft with your friends, or scooping your sister up and running into the woods. I've never met anyone that could have so much fun at Home Depot. Once we got him out of his jammies and to Home Depot. He was all in. He was all in with his family. He was all in with you. He made a difference because he was all in. The other important lesson I learned is that there is always time. There's always time for the game. There's never a bad time for jammies. There's always time for a sleepover. Our families would get together, and Chris and I would look at each other, and we would make bets on how long it would take before the boys would start giggling and then moving toward us to ask for the sleepover. We, of course, had already planned yes or no and could this work, and we were on to them. But there was always time for people. There was always time. And you're all in. We're going to miss you, Beamer.
Thank you for all of your memories. A couple come to mind in particular that you guys remember as a congregation. I think it was last winter or last fall, we were talking about dealing with the kids running around in the parking lot. That was B. And a bunch of his friends. And as soon as he heard that the leadership was going to clamp down, he, like, wanted to lawyer up. He's like asking Mom and I, oh, what exactly are the okay windows and how many kids does it take before it gets considered an unruly mob? Define playing, you know. Must be certain politicians I can think. But it was just funny that he would lawyer up. And then one of my, one of my best memories, and I got to have it like all the time, on Sunday nights, we weren't going to Sunday night groups or anything at that time, but I had an ongoing date with my kids to play Minecraft with them, all three of them. And as soon as, you know, they're like tracking me all day to make sure I'm actually going to be able to make it, because there were certain times when I couldn't, right? And yeah, there's always time. And so I did that, and as soon as I sat down to catch with him, Brandon would like snuggle up close to me like that. He's like giving me that big grin. It's like he just like makes that much of an effort to scoot up right. Like I can't breathe. And I tell you, a lot of families aren't too keen on video games, but I find it an interesting way to get to know your kids. Minecraft isn't particularly violent. It's basically Legos without the cleanup. Right? And they're just happy about it, too. I mean, because you play it in the car without...
It costs less, too.
Yeah. Got a lot of mileage out of a $7 game, I can tell you that. But what I wanted to share was, you know, when I was first learning, and I'd get attacked by some monster of some kind, and I start asking the boys for help. And there's nothing like seeing your sons like rush over the hill with their diamond plated armor, going after the creepers that are in front of you and just whooping them, you know, just yeah, you know, just you can't see that in a really structured game. But Battlefront, you can see that. You can see if your kid is a builder or an artist or exactly what. What's that?
Never mind.
Oh, so I'll always remember that. And we did that all the time. And, you know, we had our job sort of delegated out, and I'd go digging holes looking for iron and stuff. And Brandon would be the one to go hunt.
Kill all the bad guys.
Hunt the woods. Clear the field, you know. And Alex was building the buildings for us to live in, these giant cathedrals for us to live in. And Sophia was the woman in Jeopardy, I'm afraid, most of the time. But but she was coming along. But I just really remember those. And so I encourage you to, you know, choose your battle, so to speak. But, you know, feel free to join in those games sometimes with your kids. It's a whole different side of them. And they're not free, you know, they're not, you just see a different side of them. And to be able to enjoy that with them means a ton for mom and dad to be able to sit down with them and be able to do that. So just always remember them sweeping over the hill with their, you know, it's just like, and they whoop like a dozen guys in like a minute, you know, between him and Alex, you know, it's over with pretty quick.
Yep. And I would play every once in a while. I didn't quite have the patience for the game. But I would play every once in a while, and they would set me up. Oh, my word. They would make sure I had all the best armor, all the best protection. And then if I wanted anything, if I freaked out because a spider was coming after me or a creeper, they would rush in and they would be like, Mom, I gotcha, I'm coming. Yeah.
Indeed. If anybody ever jumped into the middle of that game, because that game lets you do that. There's no rounds or levels to clear. That's one of the good things about it. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, they set you up. If you've never played it before, they'll walk you through it. They'll set up. They'll give you all the setup. They'll fill up your locker with armor and tools and all that stuff. So just.
Yes. And it was so much fun. We have a day of the week that we just we call Fabulous Fun Day Friday. And that night, we usually do something fun as a family. We either play a game or we watched a lot of movies. But we would have a special dinner, and it was just time every Friday that we would come together and spend, and it was so much fun. And we're going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was, he loved it. In the morning, he would wake up. He'd be like, Mom, what are we going to do today? What are we going to do tonight? And we would.
Oh, he'd look forward to it all week.
Yep. What are we going to cook? What can I help with? What can I, yeah. So, yeah. He loved being with his family. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And he loved being with you guys, his extended family. Thank you.
We always had fun Friday when he would come to our house, too. I also wanted to, when my kids were little, we learned the books of the Bible by song. And he learned that song, and he could tell you the books of the Bible. And he got a reward for it, too. I'm not sure if he did it out of love for the Lord or love for the money, but he could sing the books of the Bible, and that made his Grammy proud.
Hello, I'm Uncle Kenny, and Brandon
was very special. You've already heard that he really loved video games, but maybe what you haven't heard is that he has certain games for certain people. So he played Minecraft with the girls and with his friends and family. Our game was called Civilization, and it's a turn-based game where you basically build your own civilizations and you go up against all the other ones. It was one of those that took hours. We would start a game, he would come and visit, and we'd start a game on Monday, and you know, we'd try to play a few hours before we needed to, you know, do something else. And so it would take like all week. And we'd just be sitting there, and again, just like with Minecraft and his dad, if you ever got in trouble, he'd be like, I'm on my way, you know, and you'd see all the, you know, pieces slowly move toward you to help you. And the other thing he really loved to do, at least when he was at Grammys, was he loved to build tents with, you know, card tables and blankets and all that sort of thing. So I'd come up in the morning and suddenly the family room was just this one giant tent. And be like, I'd like to get to my chair. Okay. But I'd say, hey, well, that's a pretty fancy one. He's like, yeah, the girls are coming over today. You know? His cousins in town would come over, and he wanted to make the most elaborate tent, you know, with you know, secret passageways and this way. And, you know, he used to rail on the dog for going through the walls. You know, it's like, that's not a door, you know. But I think the thing that I will remember him the most, and it's just that when he would first come, he would come and he would just give me the biggest hug. He would just hold on, you know. It'd be like a 5-minute hug, more like a snuggle, you know. He just held on. He was so happy to be there. And he'd do the same thing when they left, you know. He just hung on, and you knew that he was happy to be there and that he didn't want to leave, you know. And it's just that love. He gave it freely, and he just had a heart for people. So that is what I'll remember most about him.
Hey, Kenny. I just love your family. I've watched you guys love each other for the last 10 days. I remember the night that Jesus took Brent home, and Chris texted and she said, my family's on the way. And it was immediately, you guys were coming. I was so thankful. I knew that she was going to be, the family would be loved and embraced and cared for quickly. And so thankful for Nathan and Scott, who quickly came, and I just started praying. You guys are a loving, supportive family for one another, and I'm thankful for that. And Brandon is well loved, and we love Brandon. Always gonna miss him. All of us are gonna miss him in some way, and I'll miss him as we are always probably the last people out, probably annoying the Richardsons as we hang out in the parking lot till 11 or whatever. Chatting and the kids running around, so we'll miss him then. And, the next morning, the morning that we knew Brandon was home with Jesus, it rained, and we had been up all night, just up. And thank you, Alex, for praying for rain. God answered that prayer, and it rained, and it was the right way for that day to start, because tears were coming down from heaven. And while I stood there watching the sun come up and the rain coming down, and I looked over at our fire pit, and
We had just had the Raleys with us not too long before, and we had spent maybe 8 hours just hanging out by the fire pit watching kids making s'mores and eating tons of bacon that Alex brought and probably put bacon on our s'mores. It was awesome. And I was just watching that rain come down, washing over our fire pit and our places where the kids sat while we passed around candy, and everybody was having a great time with s'mores, and I was picturing little Brandon there just enjoying the s'mores and just thankful, you know. As we all know, we have our loved ones here with us, and to cherish them while we have them, and I'm so thankful that we have heaven and home. Our real home is heaven, and I remember, I think it was Katie that said to me a few days later, she said, you know, doesn't this just remind us how we so long to get home to heaven, because we have Jesus there waiting for us, and we have our precious loved ones, including our Brandon there, and thankful for that hope that we have in heaven, and I'm just glad that Brandon's completely embraced in the arms of Jesus, enjoying the joy of heaven, and we shall always miss him. So anyway, thank you.
I have a special memory of Brandon. When I first came to this church, Jim and Chris and Pastor Scott, Pastor Nathan, walked with me through my daughter's death. Jim and Chris were the first ones to console me when I came to the Tuesday group. One night after group, we were all outside, and Brandon came up to me and he said, I'm really sorry about your daughter, and I know you loved her. And he handed me an ice cream. And he said, it's okay, because Jesus loves her too. And that was really special. Most 11-year-olds don't do that. He was a really sweet little boy. I'll miss him a lot.
Anyone else? You know, Jim, while he's walking up here, we haven't done a lot of video games in our home, but I can hear it now. For the Raleys, they were doing this as a family all the time. Minecraft.
I remember this one time when they got to come over for breakfast, and we got to go down to the creek, and it was really fun. And I'm glad they could come.
Yet. Kind of just wanted to share on behalf of my son Devlin, because he said he wanted to, but he was too shy. Apparently I'm not
too shy to sniffle and snot into a microphone. I just wanted to take a second to just thank you guys for, I know you wouldn't sign up for this, but the example that you are setting as parents for all of us, as believers, as Christians, is remarkable. Allowing us as a church body to come around you and not, and just allowing it. Because in times like this, no one, there's no written, we don't really know what we're doing, you know, and, but allowing in, us to embrace you and not pushing us away has been, a witness to me. And it answers the question of why Brandon was the way that he was, because he, I live right next door, and so I get to watch all the kids play after church. And in an honest moment, I don't like every kid. But Brandon I liked a lot. And he was one of the kids that I was thrilled to see my son play with and be around, and knowing that after he played with Brandon, I wasn't going to have to deal with any detoxing behaviors like other children. Yes, there are children like that in church too. Sorry to tell everybody that, but so thank you for that too, for being a parent that I'm sure Brandon was, you know, we're all here to talk about all the wonderful things that, because there was a lot of them about him, but I know that that also came with parenting, and so thank you for that. And yeah, we love you guys a lot.
Well, I didn't really know Brandon. I met him at the retreat, and he was just so into it. He loved to hang out and just smile and laugh and play, and always wanted to play hide and seek and just play around. He was so fun. We always ran around and talked. He was so, when you didn't feel welcome, he felt you, he made you feel welcome. He was like, when you were having a hard time, he made you have a good time. So I really just hope that I got to know him more and hung out with him more. So
okay, I'm back. I struggled really hard with why. And I have to say that I still struggle sometimes. And I asked, why wasn't he rescued? But in reality, he was. He was rescued from this life, and he got to go home to the Lord. Thank you.
Hi, I don't know the Raleys, and I sat in writing class, Audrey's writing class, with Brandon a few times. And my Samuel's up there, who was in writing class with Brandon. And Molly just got up here and spoke for Dublin, and I'm up there going, Sam, you have to be brave, and no, I'm not doing it for you. So now I'm done here, because thanks, Molly. But Sam said that if he was brave and if he was going to come down here and talk, that he just wanted you to know that Brandon was the best pop-up tag player that there was. I have no idea what that is. But the night that I told Samuel what had happened, he just started crying. He goes, I didn't know he was one of my best friends, but I guess he is, Mom. And the sweetest thing, every night he still prays for Brandon. And the first time I was like, buddy, it's okay. Brandon's okay.
And he goes, I know, but I just want to make sure he's having a good time in heaven, Mom. Every night, it's something. And he goes, and dear Lord, please, when I get there, can I play pop-up tag with you and Brandon and the prophet Samuel if he's not too old? So, yeah, it's something to look forward to. Thank you for raising your son. My son enjoyed him, and I'm enjoying hearing all these things I didn't even know about writing class and his time there. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Brenda's aunt, and I'm going to speak for our family. I got the call, and I was in the car driving as fast as I dared, and then I got the text that he had gone to heaven already, and I was just crying and, you know, asking God, what's going on? I don't understand. And I had if you can have a vision while you're awake, I did. And there was a big throne. It was very bright, so you couldn't see the figures on it. But then around this side, Brandon, he was just doing his little... So it was just really calming to know that he's playing tag with God. So I was there at his C-section, and we've been with him through our whole lives. Our kids are more like siblings. So we're really going to miss him, but we know that we'll see him again. He's watching over us from above.
Anyone else? Don't want to have any regrets tomorrow that you wish you would have shared something.
Hello, my name is Lucas. And, I didn't know the Raleys so well, and wish I'd thought a little bit longer about what I was going to say, but I didn't want to think tomorrow. I wish I'd come up and said something. I have, I think, three thoughts on mine, and the first one has to do with what I just said, that I don't know the Raleys so well, though we had had some interactions and had talked. And it makes me think of wasted time. I think a lot of time is people we spend time together. Maybe we meet each other at church. We walk past each other. And we have our circles that we spend time with. And we stick to our circles. Maybe we talk to people. Maybe we don't. I'm just impressed by, you know, when we walk out of church and we've heard a sermon on the Word of God. And right away we, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time and a place for light conversation and having a joke and talking about our hobbies and whatever else. But, you know, sometimes there's a time to talk about the Lord too and to really get to know people and to ask them how they're doing before the Lord and that they're clear before Him and that they know Him, they're walking with Him, and that we're building each other up in the Lord. So we can't comfort one another unless we first know that we share a living union in Christ. And that's the first thing that I wanted to share, was that there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians It says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. This is something the Apostle Paul doesn't want us to forget about. This is to be in the front of our mind. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. He says we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I would say that we do sorrow. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. The heart of fools is in the house of mirth. We consider the shortness that we have in this life. We say, yeah, Lord, come quickly, because it is short. And if we don't spend some time when it's right, be sad and to consider that, we don't really understand the curse of death. If we don't understand the curse of death, how can we understand the resurrection? There's a catechism that I grew up with in my family, and question 37 says, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness, and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. It's true that at death we pass into glory and we meet the Lord. But our bodies, the self-same body turning to dust, there is some mysterious union between our body and the Lord's own body. And that like as he was raised, so also we have a hope that we will be raised. There's no, the verse says, them which sleep in Jesus, the dead in Christ, the bodies are united with him. Their souls already united with him in heaven. I guess the conclusion is that union only happens if there's reconciliation. 1 Corinthians 5, 20, 21, verse 20, 21 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Your minister is an ambassador of Christ, speaking his word. And he says, he's a good minister, he says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray, you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I think there's a lot of us in the church that have a religion that's really family-oriented. And that's, you know, family's important. It's natural. It's good. But having God as our Father and Christ as our brother is more important than any family we can have on this earth. So, I don't know where I'm going, but I guess I just want to close by saying you're wasting today if you don't seriously consider if you have a living union with Christ. It's the only thing that matters.
Hello, I'm Sean. I'm one of the parents that was on the retreat. Some of my favorite memories with Alex was getting to know him on two other retreats. And with Brandon, we got to the vacation rental, and the boys are going through, and there's a whole downstairs area for them. There's two big bedrooms and a movie theater room, and we're deciding who's going to sleep in which bedroom. And Brandon and the boys there's 10 of them, and they said, we'll just sleep all together in the movie theater room. And there's some leather recliners in there, the washable kind. And so they all get set up, and because there's two rooms with nobody in them, I said to Drew, I'm going to sleep. And so Drew's the youngster. He came through. I've known him since he was in the junior high program. And so he has plenty of energy to stay up way late with the boys and get up early too. And I don't know how late they're up, but I go in there in the morning and it's breakfast. And some of the boys are just starting to get up, like they remind me of kittens or puppies. And Brad, some of them had their pillows on the sticky, the shiny couch, but not Brandon. He was stuck, and so he pulled his face off, and it's still a little red when he comes down for breakfast. And he had a great time. They weren't strangers. He was the new kid, but he fit right in with the boys and with the girls. I loved his sense of adventure, his smile, and I'm gonna miss him.
One time at family camp, me and him decided to ride our bikes. So we went up the hill, and we started going down, and I fell off and scraped my knee. And he rushed over and said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I just said, "Yeah, I just need some Band-Aids." So we went back to my camper, and he said he'd wait for me at the road because that's where we were riding. And so I went inside and I got a Band-Aid. And then I came back out and he's just standing there waiting. And then as soon as I came out, he started smiling. And I had no clue why he was waiting there. And I asked him and he didn't answer. He just looked at me and then kept on going. And I realized that what a good friend he was.
Well, this is Molly's son. Okay, you're okay, Dublin. You want to share something? My nephew, also. You guys just talk amongst yourselves.
It's okay, just tell me. Are you okay? What code name? Go ahead, just tell me. It's okay. You don't want to? You want to tell him later?
Okay, well, it's something about code names that we're going to tell you later. So maybe it's too top secret right now. Okay, you want to tell him later? Okay.
Thanks so much.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. You guys did a fantastic job on the slideshow. I must say that I was holding it together through Toby Mac, but until you played Mercy Me, twice. My goodness. Alex, you did a fantastic job. Alex probably did the lion's share of digging up all the pictures of his brother. And I know he had help from Kenny. But your brother would be proud of you. Did a fantastic job representing him. Again, I want to thank each of you for being here and putting in the time and sharing the stories. I've been asked to give a gospel charge, which is my privilege as a minister of the gospel, but it's also my great joy as this will honor Brandon's memory as well as honor our Lord Jesus. I'll be reading from John chapter 11, but I'm going to paraphrase it for sake of time. Jesus was friends with three siblings, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, and Lazarus had gotten sick and word had gotten to Jesus. And it was kind of expected that Jesus would just show up on the scene and do something to change the circumstances, because that's what Jesus does. It was in his resume of bringing healing to the sick, of raising the dead, and they expected Jesus to do the same in this situation, but he delayed. It wasn't until he had heard that Lazarus had passed that he began to make his approach to the town of Bethany, about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And he, when word had gotten out that he was there, Martha, one of the sisters, went out to him and talked with Jesus and had made the statement to Jesus and said in verse number 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus, if you were here, you could have made the difference, but you weren't here. Jesus waits and Martha goes and gets her sister, Mary, and Mary comes and says the exact same thing to Jesus. And at this point, Jesus is beginning to be very moved emotionally by the grief and sorrow and hurt. And he follows them to the tomb of Lazarus and does an amazing miracle. It's not about the physical resurrection. Jesus' miracles were never about what he could only do here, this side of heaven, but it's a picture of what he could do in the spiritual sense, the bigger miracle. What I want to read to you, just touching base on some of these things, is that this account really is rich with elements of hope and encouragement that we can hold to when we face the reality of losing a loved one. Because the Bible is authored by God and is written for us who are created in the image of God, God's word is the best place to look for assessing human emotions, behaviors, as well as being directed to places of comfort and peace for the grieving heart. What I'd like to do for the next few minutes is examine elements of Christ's interactions with the grieving so as to give comfort to you in the present, but also hope for your future. In this interaction, this exchange, I want to point out Christ's claim. When talking to Martha, he says in verse number 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asks the question, do you believe? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called her sister Mary. Martha expressed a confidence in the resurrection of her brother Lazarus. It was the kind of hope that was settled on an event that would take place one day. It was a belief that he would live again one day. Jesus does not correct her in her thinking, but he does clarify where her hope should be placed. It's not merely an event that she can look forward to that would grant her the blessing of being with her brother again. It was a person. It was a relationship. By making the statement, I am the resurrection, Jesus is not teaching that the resurrection is just a thing that God gives away. It's a relationship that we enter into. The Apostle Paul put it this way, as Lucas was quoting earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. By making the statement, I am the life, Jesus makes clear that he is more than the means of giving life where life once was. He is the means by which life itself is sustained. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So to understand this from God's perspective, Brandon may have been separated from this world physically, but he is still alive even now. As a matter of fact, Brandon's new life started when he was around 5 years old, when he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Jesus, making this claim, challenged Mary by asking, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? This is a question that relies on faith to answer, because no demonstration is offered in the question. Jesus did not reference previous miracles of raising the dead because he did not want Martha to have confidence in what her senses and experiences alone could afford, but only what faith can afford. What faith can affirm. You too will be challenged in your belief in the midst of your hurt. The world's response will be, show me and I will believe you. But Jesus dares us in our faith when he says, believe me and I'll show you. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8 when he says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Not only Christ's claim, I want you to notice Christ's compassion. Verse 32, he's still outside the city when Mary comes to him and she falls at his feet and she asks the same thing of the Savior, or makes the same statement, but it's done so in weeping. Jesus clearly observed Mary weeping before him. He did more than acknowledge her pain. He was touched by her pain. This observation was not restricted to just Mary, but really to all that are here, that were there with her. That is to say that Jesus was impacted by the sorrow of all who are impacted by the loss of a loved one. Even the Prince of Peace shares with us the experience of being unsettled as a result of death. Hebrews chapter 4 teaches that we have a high priest who is not distant from us, but knows what it's like. Who is tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You see, the Bible describes Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, so he is no stranger to pain. Especially from pain that comes from something so profound as a sense of loss of a loved one. I believe the Bible depicts the emotions of Jesus during this time so we can understand that he feels what we feel when we hurt. Here is God who knows the end from the beginning of how things would play out, certainly for their good, but also for his glory. Yet he is still vulnerable in his response to the way things appear now. This truth of the bigger picture did not insulate Jesus from the emotions that he observed and took on himself. The fact that Jesus wept means that it's okay to weep, even when we trust in the sovereign will of God. I also want to point out that it was when Jesus drew near to the tomb that his grief was intensified. He was troubled when he was in conversation with Mary, but when he asked the question, where have you laid them? They said, Lord, come and see. As we get John 11:35, two words that express powerfully the humanity and compassion of Christ. Jesus wept. He did not ask out of ignorance. He asked the question because he wanted to accompany the mournful to the place of their grief. Jesus asks to be invited to join you, to take him on the place of your hurt so that he can weep with you. When it is a visit to the graveside, when it is a holiday, when it is a birthday, a picture, a song, or a memory, he wants to take that journey with you, to bear that loss with you. It is an endeavor he is faithful to share with you until the time he will reunite you with Brandon. Last, I want you to notice Christ's call. In verse 43, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. Christ certainly had the power to raise every deceased who would have been present at the grave. Though Jesus brought Lazarus back from the grave in this account, we have a hope of a greater resurrection. A resurrection that will take place for Brandon that will not only bring him to life bodily, but will also reunite us with him forever. The rest of what Paul was saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes it this way: "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This was not some wishful thinking. This was a promise of God. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." And then he says, "Comfort one another with these words." In conclusion, some may believe that death is a natural part of life. This is a partial truth. Because when life started at creation, death was never involved. Death was introduced into creation when man disobeyed God in the garden. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Death is an enemy of man, so when God the Son put on human flesh, death became God's enemy too. Hebrews 2:14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." It is because of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel that we can have final victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." He goes on to say in the same chapter, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Brandon was depicted as a hero in his gaming expertise. When the fields of battle were littered with his enemies, he also made time for his friends to go back and rescue them, to help them. And it is so like our Savior Jesus, who left heaven for you and for me. If you want to celebrate Brandon's going home to be with the Lord and to celebrate his life, one of the best things you could ever do is give your life to Jesus Christ. And if you have not done that, on behalf of Brandon, I ask you, and his family, I ask you, don't leave until you've talked with me or somebody, me, Pastor Scott. We could take the word of God and share with you how you could know you're on your way to heaven. And with that, we're going to give you guys an opportunity to stand. We'll have DJ come lead us in a closing song. You guys have been great sitting. Now stretch your legs. Make sure you still got feeling.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with grace. Our God is an awesome God. When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. Running around until you kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God, an awesome God. When the sky was born childless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. You spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. The judgment of wrath He poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace He gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
You can remain standing just for a moment. We're almost finished. Just a reminder about the sticky notes. This will be in the fellowship hall. Go ahead and fill out some of these and leave them as encouragements for the Raleys. We're going to be heading there for some snacks and refreshments. You can go down the hall that way, go through this door or through that door. On behalf of the Raleys, I want to thank all of you for coming and supporting them. And then on behalf of everyone here, I want to thank you guys for just allowing us to be part of your lives and for being so transparent and vulnerable with us, for the example you've set, and just for allowing us to step into this grief with you and share it. We love you guys, and it's been a great privilege to be your pastor, and I know I say on everyone's behalf to be your friends and brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Father, we thank you for Brandon's life. We thank you for the privilege it's been to know him and experience some of it. We thank you for the gift that he's been and the blessing it is to know that he is with you, the hope that we have in Christ, the victory that is ours over death and over sin because of what Jesus has done on the cross. That's really the only way we could have hope during this season. And we pray for the Raleys, continue to bring them to our minds and hearts, lifting them up and encouraging them. This is more of a journey, Lord, with this being the beginning of it. And if there's any other ways for us to love and serve them in the future, bring that to mind. We pray that they would reach out. We do thank you for Jim and Chris and Alex and Sophia and the gift it's been being their friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for everyone that came out today. Bless the fellowship that follows. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed to the fellowship hall.
And if you guys can, please let family go through first. There are two lines. It'll go quick, but let family go through first.
Yeah, good job, brother.